Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 115.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Let's jump straight into review of the week. This one comes from Peace Folk Tea.
No, peaceful KT.
Ooh, oh, peaceful KT. There you go. Yeah, so she says, I assume she, fun and pragmatic. I'm so impressed with Kelly and Carly's ability to thoughtfully explore topics and make me laugh at the same time. They really help me lighten up and still feel motivated to implement changes, or at least determine if I should actually implement changes in my life. Thanks so much for such a quality podcast.
And thank you, Peaceful Katie, for leaving us such a lovely review. We so appreciate that. And we do always appreciate it when people tell us in particular that they've felt motivated to implement something after listening to the show, because, you know, that's one of the things that kind of really keeps us doing what we do, is knowing that, you know, we're not just talking into the ether and having fun just chatting with each other every week. Like, people are actually getting something out of the show and taking action, which is the key thing that really gets us, yeah, it makes us happy. So thank you. On to the next segment for the week. And this is our favorite, Carly's random thing of the week.
So I've had to go a little bit vintage on my random things of the week, because most of my random things of the week kind of popped up from, you know, going out and having drinks with my friends and doing that kind of stuff. And I'm not doing any of that right now because I'm pregnant. My really close friend is pregnant, and because I've got two very close friends that live in Melbourne, and my other friend has a one-year-old. So we just, we're at that stage of our lives where we don't do things anymore. So yeah, all of my random things are vintage at the moment, but we were talking about baby names the other day and trying to avoid giving your baby a name that everyone else is going to have. And we were actually talking about the lack of Sarahs. So I've got a lot of friends that are school teachers, and they're like, the Sarahs aren't a thing anymore. They've disappeared. They're all, it's all Evies and Ava, Lily, all that kind of stuff. They're kind of the up and coming names at the moment. And I was, it just made me laugh so much because it reminded me of when I was in year six and I was on a netball team. So there were eight people, which is like seven players and one reserve. There were eight people on our team, and myself and my best friend Lauren were the only two people on the team that weren't called Sarah. So there were six Sarahs and me and my friend Loz, and that was the whole team, which is just such a crack up now because it's a whole thing. There's no Sarahs left anymore. So, yeah, I haven't met a Sarah under the age of 20 in a very, very long time.
I haven't come across a Sarah at school either. This is so cool. We had lots of Melissas when I was at school.
Yeah, we had a few Melissas. We had Claires and Rachels and Kates.
Yeah, no, we had Melissas and Sarahs, I think. It's so funny. I had do you have rules for your baby name? Because I had rules. So here are my rules.
Oh, I do, yeah. Oh, I'd love to hear your rules. I'm really, yeah, I'm keen to hear that.
So my rules were that their names had to sound like the way they were spelt.
Because, oh, my God, so much. Yes, so much.
I grew up with an unpronounceable surname. So my maiden name is Moutet. So it's M-O-U-T-T-E-T. It's French. It was unpronounceable. And I hated growing up with this name that nobody could say. So
I was just like, Exeter, that's heaps easy, Kelly. What are you talking about? But then I'm like, that's not the name you were born with.
And people are like, why did you change your name when you got married? I'm like, oh, my God, because I just needed to have a name that, like, when people would say Kelly and then this long pause, I would just put my hand up and go, yep, that's me.
You're clearly talking about me.
I was very adamant that any name I gave my child would never have that effect where someone stopped and went, how on earth do you say this? So that was my first rule. My second rule was I had to have two syllables, because when you're yelling at your child, like, a one syllable name just doesn't do it. So it's like, you've got to have two syllables. Mia, Jaden.
Yeah, I love the way you shouted Mia first, because you clearly yell at her more.
Definitely. Basically, I never yelled until I had Mia. So, you know, I was one of those like, oh, I'm such a chilled out mum. I never yell at my kids. And then Mia came along and I was like, oh, right.
That's what a rebel daughter will do to you.
And then my third thing was that I wanted them to be normalish but not common, which is like
My rules exactly. Like those are just hardcore the rules, because we want something that sounds normal, but she's not going to be like
one of 30.
Well, my niece has three friends called Lily in her year, and they're all in the same group, so it's basically like her plus three Lilies, and they're like Big Lily, Little Lily, and Lily S.
I remember you telling me that. I'm like, I was heartbroken. Big Lily, Little thing, not cool.
I was like, Big Lily, I don't want to be Big Lily. Like, if I was Big Carly, like, that would just break my heart. Like, I mean, I know that's my issue and not everybody else's, but I'm just like,
it's a bit of a thing. But yeah, it was interesting when I was pregnant with Mia, and I'd taken so long. And also, Mia's name had to go with the middle name Marie. So there was that to bring into the equation as well. But when I was pregnant with Mia, it took me so long to come up with the name that ticked all those boxes. And I was so pleased with myself. And no kidding, a week before she was born, like, they released those top 10 baby name lists where, like, these are the top 10 most popular. And Mia was on there. And I'm like, what? No, yeah, it can't
Mia's
be.
Mia's even more popular now. Like, it's really – it's very, very high up there. And it's a lovely name. And it's a shame because that kind of, like, you know, ticks it off my list as a name that we can have because I'm like – there's just too many Mias. Yeah. I actually went to school with one girl called Mia, and it was very unpopular when I was at school. But it's definitely rising in popularity now. But yeah, so that's my random thing of the week.
Same baby girl names. Well, just so you know, I nearly changed Mia's name to Lani that week out, but then like Lani Marie, Mia Marie. Mia Marie just sounded so much better, so I couldn't do it.
It really does.
Lani, as you know, you can add that to your possibility list. Kelly is also an uncommon, easy to say, two-syllable kind of name, just saying.
We texted one of our friends that when we were pregnant, and he sent back that funny Jonah Hill screaming emoji, the gif of Jonah Hill screaming, and then he wrote underneath, David's a lovely name for a girl, because that's his name. I was like, I think, thanks so much for the suggestion. I think I'll leave David for another day.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So on to our recommendation of the week. And I'm going to give a shout out to Nicole Avery for her meal prep primer course. Now, I'm going to be completely transparent and say I have not taken Nicole's course yet, but I fully intend to, and I intend to pay for it with my own money. And I want to give Nick a shout out because, one, she's awesome. Two, she's a huge supporter of our show. But three, everything that she does is just on the money. And it's funny because I was talking to her about, some things that she could do with her business a little while ago. And she mentioned something about the fact that this was something that people were asking her for all the time. And I was like, you totally have to do it. Like, you know, don't do the thing that people aren't asking for, do the thing that they are. And so she did, and it's gone very well for her. And it's because she's amazing and because everybody needs, like, I know Carly, you already do Smug Sunday and you do all your meal prep on Sunday.
I need guidance. I actually haven't been doing a lot of meal prep because I can't eat reheated food at the moment. Oh. It just, the smell of it grosses me out. So I haven't actually meal prepped the whole time I've been pregnant, but I fully intend on getting back into it when I am no longer with child.
Yes. And I fully intend on doing this course as soon as this current period of my life that is quite insane is just like, it goes. And then I'm going to start doing this meal prep thing because I've been meaning to do it for ages and I just haven't been able to because I didn't know how to and I didn't want to figure it out on my own. And now I don't have to figure it out on my own. I can just do Nick's course. So go to plannedandpresent.com/meal-prep-primer and you will find Nicole's course there. And it's totally not sponsored. It's just because Nick's awesome. Carl's your recommendation of the week.
Mine's a little odd. I really like the Taken trilogy that stars Liam Neeson because I was talking about Liam Neeson last episode I love him so much. I just like if my dad, because I already have a great dad, but if my dad was gay, I would want Liam Neeson to be my dad's husband. He's just the greatest human. He's so funny in real life and just so great on film. And the Taken trilogy is actually like they're kind of crap but also amazing at the same time.
I've only seen the first one. I haven't seen the other two.
Oh, my God. They get so much better. In the second one, there's this amazing bit because he's like – he's all about the skills. He has a very special set of skills. And it's just – there's so much far-fetched stuff in it. Like there's this bit where he's like trying to figure out where his daughter is so that she can come and save him. And he's like closing his eyes and counting – like she's setting off these grenades so that he can listen for them and find out where she is. And he's like counting in between. And I'm just going, you're a genius. Like everything about you is spectacular. If you have not watched the Taken trilogy, there's a channel on TV that's just playing them constantly at the moment. There's one on like every Sunday night. And I tell you what, every Sunday night, no matter how many times we've seen the movie that Taken, we'll just watch it again because it's just so good. And Liam Neeson is life.
Noted.
All right. So moving on to if you were our best friend, this one comes from Jeremy. One of my best friends does this thing where she takes a photo of her outfit and sends it to me and asks me if the outfit is okay. The first few times she did this, I was fine with it. It goes with the territory of being a best friend, I like to think. But over time, I noticed she does this on almost every single outfit she'd wear that day or some new clothes she recently bought or a new picture she took of herself. Even on outfits I already told her looks okay. And whenever I don't respond to her soon, she'll text me or call me or, you know, slide into my Twitter DM telling me to check Facebook Messenger ASAP. It gets frustrating. Wow. Yeah, I'm... Wow.
I'm dying.
I'm already so annoyed for you right now.
I don't mean to laugh at this person, but I'm just like, if this was my friend, like my friend, if I was friends with someone like this, they would never do that to me because I would just be like, seriously, like, I don't care. But anyway,
continue. I'd be like, I have so many other things to do today. It gets frustrating, mostly because I know she's just seeking instant external validation that her choice and style and tastes are good. If it was someone else, I'd have frankly told her my two cents. And I did so multiple times, but in a gentler way because she's highly sensitive and easily gets sad and depressed over small things. So my question is, how can you tell your highly sensitive friends what you honestly think without hurting them?
OMG, I have no idea. I'm dying listening to this question because I'm just like, I don't know what I would do. I would just be the friend that, you know, gives them their validation whenever they ask for it, which sounds like being every day, but I'd also just... I'd just start hating them. So I don't know.
This also sounds like an
awful person.
It sounds like a young person thing to me as well. Like I just from reading possibly. This, I can't see a 35-year-old doing that. That seems unusual. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being ageist here, but that seems like a young person thing to do. Not that that really means anything.
Yeah, I think I don't know, but I would suggest maybe you are right. And that's Jeremy, that's really, really hard. I don't know. I think you just have to keep being the great friend that you are and having great patience and hope that it's a phase that maybe she gets through and maybe there's things you can do to boost her self-esteem so that maybe she doesn't need to see, I don't know. I just don't feel like it's up to you to boost her self-esteem. So there's obviously something going on here and you're the one having to prop stuff up and it's really, really difficult because, it's not like you can tell your friend, I think you need therapy because you need too much external validation from me because it might just be like she is really young and it's just a phase that she's going through. I don't know.
Yeah. My solution was a little bit more practical than that and very geared directly towards this situation. But I think that you should say you're doing an experiment to not check your phone between the hours of 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. and then just don't open her messages so that she can't see that they've been read. And I know Kelly hates dishonest solutions, but I feel like if you cut her off at the source with an excuse that is about you and not about her. It's not you saying, you know, you're requiring too much external validation and you're kind of starting to piss me off. It's more about, oh, hey, look, I'm trying to disengage from social media and from being on my phone in these hours. And then, just don't check her message when you see it come up because then it will show that it's been read. So, and just do that for 2 weeks and see if that, I think she just needs to be broken of the habit.
Yeah, that's actual genius. I really like that, Carls.
Yes.
Yes. I'm all for that dishonest solution because I didn't have an honest one. And, yeah, there's no way to be honest in this situation without hurting your friend, and it's not
and there's
worth
no point.
Hurting your friend. Yeah, it's not worth hurting anybody's feelings just to, yeah. All right, cool. Good job, Carly. I'm taking yes. that on board for myself if I ever find that myself in that same situation. Over to the topic of the day. And so the title of this episode is called The Power of When. And Cecile emailed us all the way from France. Hey, Cecile, where she has, I think, just moved to temporarily from New Zealand. I'm not sure if it's a sabbatical or whether it's a hop to somewhere else.
Her email was so nice. She was just like told us what she was up to and what she was doing. And I was like, that's just lovely. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So hello, Cecile, and thanks. And so she asked us in that email whether we had come across the concept of chronotypes, which is it's kind of a person's natural inclination with regard to the times of day where they prefer to sleep or when they are most alert or energetic. So she linked us up to the Power of When website, which has a quiz, which I think many of the people in the group have actually taken because I have seen this chronotype thing before.
Yeah.
And the quiz suggests there are one of four chronotypes. So one, lions are morning hunters at the top of the food chain, and this name fits morning-oriented, driven optimists with medium sleep drive. Bears are the go-with-the-flow ramblers. They're good sleepers. So sleep gets mentioned a lot because The Power of When is, I think, the book is a lot around sleep. So bears are good sleepers and anytime hunters and, you know, that name fits people who are generally fun-loving, who prefer a solar-based schedule and have a high sleep drive. Wolves are nocturnal hunters. They are night-oriented, creative extroverts with a medium sleep drive. That's you, Bron. Maxabella, I know you listen sometimes. dolphins sleep with only half their brain at a time, which is why they're called unihemispheric sleepers. And the other half is awake and alert, concentrating on swimming and looking for predators. Two guesses which of these I am. so dolphins, the name fits well with insomniacs. They are intelligent but neurotic light sleepers with low sleep drive. So the quiz pegged me as a dolphin, which is accurate, in which, you know, I am naturally a terrible sleeper, and over my life, because I really like sleep, I have put a huge bunch of stuff in place to ensure I get the sleep that I need, and I do sleep well now. But Carls, did you do the quiz? What type are you?
I did do the quiz, and I am a bear, which I think sounds just about right for me. Like I'm pretty go with the flow. I'm a good sleeper. The high sleep drive thing doesn't necessarily equate with me because I don't actually require a lot of sleep, but I am good at it.
Yeah. So good to know. Yeah. I mean, I listened to the dolphin description and didn't, you know, and you know, you guys know that I am a personality test junkie. And I'm not. And it, you know, I didn't fully gel with what it described because obviously some of the things fit and other things didn't. Whereas I've done other personality test type things where I've been like, oh my God, that is totally me. And like anything, none of us is only one thing over another. We're a mixture of all things. But I guess that's not necessarily what we wanted to talk about today. So what we wanted to talk about today was not so much the power of when specifically, as we've not really deep dived enough into that book or its concepts to discuss it with any great authority. We want to more talk about this idea of adjusting your daily rhythms to suit your biorhythms. So Carls, this is something you've spoken before in regard to the fact that, say, Ben, you know, is awake and working during seemingly odd hours to most people, but, you know, it works for him and that's when he's kind of at his most alert, yet, you know, he gets judged for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So he and his brother are the same. His brother's actually slightly worse. So he tends to be awake until about 4 or 5 in the morning and then sleeps through until kind of midday or 1 or 2. Ben's usually never asleep before about 2 a.m. in the morning. He's pretty useless in the morning and can't really do much before midday. So I get up and go to the gym and come home and I'll bring him a cup of tea and he'll still be in bed by 9:30 because he was up so late the night before. But it just, it is really odd because, you know, when we stay at other people's houses, like his grandma cannot get over it. Like she can't handle it. The boys will get up at 10 in the morning and she'll come in and go, oh gosh, I've been up for 4 hours. And, you know, she really gets quite judgy about it and just can't get it into her head that they were up working the night before.
Yeah.
So there does seem to be this whole slovenly thing of people. Because the thing is, he's not sleeping in. He's just adjusting his sleep schedule. It's not like he went to bed at midnight like everyone else and got a solid 12 hours of sleep. He went to sleep later than everyone else, but because they didn't see it, they assume it didn't happen and they think he's like a teenager that just can't get out of bed in the morning, but that's just what works for him. And to be fair, he's gotten better over time, but he knows when his solid hours of work are and it's not in the morning, so he might as well sleep.
Yeah, I agree. And that's like, so one of the first topics we wanted to discuss today around this topic of like when is permission to push back against societal norms, like, you know, the when and the how and the why, like you do things. So, you know, my friend, I mentioned her before, Bron. So she's all, you know, I've always been pegged as that virtuous person because I can get, you know, I get up in the fours and I do lots of work before everyone else gets up, and all the, you know, all the articles about how to be a successful person suggest that getting up, you know, early in the morning and doing stuff before other people get up is the way to get ahead and be successful. And Bron's always been like, I'm not that person. Like, I'm just not a morning person. I'm the person who loves to be on my computer at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when the rest of the house has gone to sleep. And that's when I'm creative and that's when I work well. Yet I get called the virtuous person and she gets called that you should go to bed earlier so you can wake up earlier person. So I think, but you know, she's always been that very much like, I'm not going to do what other people tell me to do. I'm going to do what works for me. And I think people, you know, if anything, I'd love people to leave this podcast with the intent of, you know what, this early morning thing, I'm just not that person. And I now know it's okay for me to not be that person and do what works. So, yeah, Carls, I know you've got a few things to say about this.
Yeah, before I move on to my thing, just about the early morning thing, I wouldn't say I'm a natural early morning person, but I've certainly trained myself to be better at it. And I know that there are some people who can't be trained into it and there's some people that can be trained into it. So that's just another thought for that because my dad is a natural early morning person. He's a plumber and so his whole life has been getting up at 5:30 in the morning and leaving the house by 6, and he is on fire in the morning. He's whistling around the house and opening up the blinds and let's start the day. And I'm never really like that in the morning. I'm kind of like, oh yeah, the day's starting. Okay, let's do it. I'm never kind of.
I feel like you're more an 8 o'clock in the morning kind of person. Like if you could just wake up naturally at a certain time, what time would you wake up?
Oh, it'd be 8. When I sleep in on weekends, I wake up at 8.
So see, when I sleep in on weekends, I wake up at 5, which people just die and they can't even
That's crazy.
But that's the time that if I just didn't set my alarm, I would wake up at 5 every morning without fail. So, and yeah, and when I set my alarm for 5 on the weekends, it is a sleep in, but I don't tell people that because they look at me like I'm a freak. But it really genuinely does feel like one.
I only ever see 5 a.m. if I'm still up from the night before.
I see. I've never, ever been a nocturnal person. I've never functioned well kind of after 8 o'clock at night. Like I've never enjoyed going out late. I've never enjoyed, you know, going to bed in the early hours of the morning. And because I get up. I wake up, like my body wakes up at 5, 6 o'clock anyway, so it doesn't adjust. Whereas Ant is more of a nocturnal person, but he, like you, he's trained himself to be an early morning person, but he did that when we had kids because it fitted his lifestyle better. So that we'll talk about that later. But yeah, you want to talk about pushing back against societal norms.
I think you really just have to embrace what works for you, particularly if you have the type of job where you can adjust your hours. So for Ben and his brother, they actually ended up starting their own business because they just couldn't work 9 to 5. Like, they had a couple of employees that were okay with them sort of rocking up at 10 or 11, but they also just got to the point where they're like, we're really good workers. We get all of our work done. I really don't want to be arguing with bosses forever about not showing up at 9 o'clock. It just doesn't work. So that's kind of why they ended up creating their own business. And that works really well because they have overseas employees as well. Yeah. And so a lot of Ben's, like Ben had a business meeting at 12:30 last night. So it does actually work quite well. I do think that it's really important. Persistence is the only way to get through it. So every time someone has a dig at you for sleeping in, remind that person that you were up until 2 a.m. the night before, and vice versa if you're the type of person that's falling asleep at the dinner table. So that's another thing, is that, like, even though Kelly would be seen as virtuous, you've probably also been called a party pooper on more than one occasion.
100%. Yeah. And I do feel bad that, that I'm getting into bed at 8:30, and like, people, every so often someone will send me a text or something at 8:30, and like, I just say, you know, obviously we don't see it till the next day, and they're like, but who's not awake at 8:30 p.m. and I'm like, well, I'm awake, but I'm in bed. And yeah, you do feel like a complete loser, but I kind of don't care. But I don't care because I'm 40. So once you're 40, you don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah, I've got a friend who, a really close friend of mine, Felicity, who listens to the podcast. Her surname is Quirk, and I call her Grandma Quirk because she's just like, she just falls asleep at 9 o'clock. And back in the day, like, she's got a child now and I've got one on the way. But before then, I'd go over to her house on a Friday night. You're like ready to have a couple of drinks, and she would literally just fall asleep on the couch at 9 o'clock.
That's me.
And I'd be like, come on. I'm like, Grandma Quirk, what are you doing to me? But it's just like, her whole family's the same. Like, I stayed with her family. I was a bridesmaid in her wedding a few years ago, and I stayed with her family at the coast. And they're all like that. It was crazy. Yeah, it was the night before her wedding. And she was off doing something. I can't remember what it was, but I was just with her family. And, you know, we opened up a bottle of wine. We're having a few glasses of wine. It got to be 8:30, and they all just like watched up their glasses and went to bed. And I was like, what am I going to do for the next like 3 hours? I was so bored because I usually go to sleep at about 12, and I was just, it was shocking. And then I got up really early the next morning because it was, you know, the wedding day and you had to get up early. And I got up at like 7, and they'd been to the shops and gone for runs and bought fresh bread, and one of them was making croissants and, you know, just sitting there casually reading the newspaper, full faces of makeup. I'm like, you guys are freaks. This is not normal.
That's us. And this is it. And like, if you go away with a family, like, you got to be careful that you go away with the right family. Oh, yeah. Because, oh my gosh, like, we have to be really selective about who we go away with. Otherwise, we look like complete noobs that when it's 9 o'clock, you know, our kids are in bed at 7, 7:30. And we're like kind of looking at our watches at 8:30 going, can we go read now in bed? You know, so, you know, within reason. But yeah, you have to pick who you go away with. I remember going with a group of girlfriends, and and all of us were kind of like so tired. We were all had kids, and all we wanted to do was go to bed at 9. And then another of our friends who has an older kid, she's just like, are you guys kidding me? Are you kidding me? We are away for the weekend without our kids, and no one is staying up to drink wine with me. I am never going away with you guys again.
That would be me. I'd be Devo. I'd be like, what are you doing? But that's the thing. Like, I'm not virtuous nor slovenly. I just fall smack bang into kind of
in
that.
In the middle.
Into that perfect little thing. Because if I go to bed at 12, I can wake up at 6, and I can do that for a couple of days. But then I'll need to kind of go to bed a little bit earlier if I want to get up at 6. But my ideal sleeping is kind of from 12 till 7. I can survive quite brilliantly. And that means I can kind of party until midnight, but still get up and go for a walk with everyone in the morning. Yeah. So,
I was going to say, it's important to know what your natural inklings are. And if you are able to work with those, then do it without, you know, if you're able to do that without losing your job or being a social outcast, like, do it. But what do you do when you're not in a position to work with your natural biorhythms?
I think it's really important to be aware of your best working hours. So if work dictates that you need to be there at 9 a.m. and you're not at your best until 2 p.m., you can actually try to negotiate a later start date with your boss. A lot of the time, they won't mind too much. Like, I mean, it depends on your field, obviously. But you can negotiate that, because I used to, when I, the last time I had a real job was so long ago. I'm just casting my mind back to the University of Canberra. But I negotiated with my boss because I did a boot camp that finished at 7:30, and by the time I got to work, it was 8 o'clock. And so I was like, well, can I just start at 8 and finish at 4? And she was fine with that. So I think as long as it's kind of within the realm of a 9 to 5, most bosses will be pretty good about that. Another thing is that, like, if you're the type of if you have the type of profession where you don't have your own autonomy, for example, a teacher, you can't just negotiate with your boss to show up at 10 o'clock because your class will be sitting there not doing anything. But if you're firing on all cylinders at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, structure your lessons around your own strengths. So do things like quiet reading and student-led work in the morning, and save the more intense teaching for when you're really firing in the afternoon. So, for example, I stop concentrating at about 3 p.m. each afternoon, which is why I get Kelly to record them. You might not actually know this, Kelly, but I requested that we record the podcast at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, because I would have switched off at that stage anyway.
Yeah, and you did say that to me. You said, like, my mornings are, which is when we used to record, your mornings are your best concentrating time and your best deep work time, and you didn't want to waste it on podcasting. And I was like,
which sounds horrible, because it's not like wasting it on podcasting.
It's a different energy thing.
It's a totally different energy. Yeah. And podcasting is like having a conversation. So to me, when I clocked off at 3 this afternoon, and now I just get to chat to a friend for 2 hours. So it's like, yeah, it's that kind of thing. It's just about,
it's a better use of your energy systems.
It is. Yeah. And also, I'm so depleted after recording the podcast that I can't do anything after it.
Yes.
So when we were recording in the morning, we'd finish recording at like 11, and then I just like slunk around all day trying to find the energy to do things. So it's just about noticing how you react to different activities and using whatever flexibility you have within your job. I wonder about jobs like nursing.
Oh, and night shift. And here's what I always think. So doctors and nurses cannot make mistakes. You know, they're just not allowed to. Yet what we ask of them, to work long shifts of high stress work on weird ass sleeping pattern, you know, and totally whacked out rhythms. I think we are so much of our medical professionals, but yeah.
I agree.
That's another story for another day, I think. So next kind of thing, and this is a little piece of research that I found, was, you know, should the school day start later? And so Kyla Wahlstrom, who is a senior research fellow at the University of Minnesota, so she's been studying the effects of later high school start times for 20 years. And her research shows that teenagers' inability to get out of bed before 8 a.m. has really serious consequences for learning and health outcomes. So she says, essentially, the adolescent inability to be fully awake before then is a matter of human biology. It's not a matter of attitude. Our brains release the sleep hormone melatonin as a signal that allows us to fall and stay asleep. And in preteens and adults, this secretion of melatonin is flexible and variable, and sleep timing preferences are genetically based, but the timing is very different in teens, as it's related to puberty and hormones. So for virtually all adolescents, the secretion of melatonin doesn't begin until 10:45 p.m. and it continues till about 8 a.m. So it kind of means that most teenagers are unable to fall asleep until melatonin secretion begins. So it means, like, you can send your teenager to bed at 8 o'clock all you like, but they're just not going to be able to fall asleep until 10:45, 11 p.m. anyway. And it's hard to wake up in the morning until the melatonin secretion stops. So that's why there's been like a bit of a movement towards, you know, we should be shifting the hours of the school day for high schoolers. So, Carls, what are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. I've always been quite a decent sleeper, except for like a weird, like occasional periods, but I spent quite a lot of time not paying attention in school. I think I found a lot of it to be a waste of time, to be honest. And I was just always really keen to get out and do my own stuff. And I'd be sitting there going, why do I need to be talking about this? Like, you've given me the assignment. Can I just go do it? Like, why do we need to talk about it for four lessons? So I think the whole school system needs a complete do over, I think we should be looking towards the Nordic countries because they've got such exceptional, I know that Sweden and Norway and those kind of countries are doing brilliant things in their education system at the moment. More student-based learning, less focus on academia, more autonomy and independence within the students, which I think is such a huge thing that we don't have enough of in Australia. No. In the current system, students are often infantilized. That's one big difference was there was a – I read an article about a little girl who was from China and she ended up in Norway with her family and was shocked that she could just go to the toilet whenever she wanted without asking the teacher because they just trust you to go to the toilet in high school. And I remember having to ask.
I'm the same. And my brain is going, of course you have to ask. How do you just go to the toilet without asking?
but you still have to ask now if you can go to the toilet. And I just think that, you know, when you've got a 17-year-old saying, oh, miss, can I please go to the toilet? Like, that's horrific. Why are we doing that? It's just dumb.
When you say it like that, it does make, like, my brain does go, you're right. Why?
It's really weird. And the whole point of school is to prepare adolescents for real life. And none of the things that you do are real life. Like, you know, when you have your own job, you can generally decide what time you want to have lunch. Whereas at school, everyone has lunch at the same time and there's a bell and you all go outside. I mean, that's just ludicrous. It's really, there's no independence at all. And I mean, I think we need a whole, don't get me started on the education system. Yeah, I have so much to say about it. I do think that we need to start looking at the way that teenage biorhythms work. And also just look at the focus on academia is a huge issue. There needs to be more of a focus. They just keep taking away all of the
all the autonomy.
All of the subjects that train people things. Like the TAFE. Because when I was at school, you could kind of like start a TAFE course at school and kind of half do school and half do TAFE. And then you'd get skilled up as, you know, like a hairdresser or something. But I know a lot of schools that they've pulled that out of the schools now and you have to kind of leave school to go. Anyway, the whole thing is just, the whole thing needs an overhaul.
Might have to do a whole pass. Like, what we would change in school if we were able to start again? Because, you know, the whole school system.
Make me Minister of Education. I'll sort you all out. I know what I'm doing.
Cool. All right. So the fourth kind of topic we want to tackle tackle under this one is the concept of seasons of life. And this might be something that's interesting to talk about, you know, because Carly, you and Ben are about to enter into parenthood after, like, you've gone quite deep into your adult life without having kids. While Ant and I are now at a place where our kids are 5 and 9, they're reliable sleepers. And it's so interesting because, like, what we're able to do, say, even on weekends now is very different to what we were able to do, like, even 2 years ago. And, you know, because our kids are just that little bit more independent. They're, like, a little less tiring. Like, I just remember where weekends were spent, you know, keeping the kids busy and then just crashing in the afternoon from the effort of keeping them busy in the morning. And it's interesting when I look at my friends whose kids are 8 and up, they have even more different, you know, even more different lives again to what we do. And so I think an interesting thing is, like, choosing your activities and choosing your goals to match your seasons of life as well. So what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously the next year is going to be extremely different and difficult for us, but I'm really pleased that we have two advantages. So one is that we're only asleep for about 4 hours at the same time each night because Ben doesn't go to sleep until 2, sometimes even later than that. And I've often been asleep for 3 or 4 hours before that.
Yeah.
And then I get up at like 6 and then he'll sleep through until 9 or 10. So we've got, I think that'll actually work to our advantage. And another thing that's going to work very well for us is that we have a lot more flexibility than other people. So, and I've actually found that unbelievably helpful through my pregnancy. So if I haven't had a good night's sleep, I can just sleep in until 9 or 10 and start my work day a little bit later rather than get up and be tired. And I've just been able to just revert to my natural circadian rhythms and just sleep whenever I need to sleep and then just work when I'm awake, which has been just unbelievably fantastic. And I think one of the reasons why I've been so well during my pregnancy. I mean, I'm under no delusions. Like, I don't think that, you know, we've got this whole thing nailed. No, and we're just but, like,
you know, and you, sorted, you won't know until you get there. But yeah, you,
no, exactly.
You understand the advantages that you have available to you that may not be available to other people, and they are real yeah. advantages, and they. It's good. You got to take every advantage that you get. Like, you know, some we had when Jaden was a baby and Mia was a baby, actually, we were living with Aunt's dad. And it's amazing, you know, he's not, you know, like this uber capable, give you the baby, I'll take care of the baby kind of thing person, but he could do other stuff. And it's just amazing how just that one extra pair of hands, adult hands, helped us so much. So, yeah, take the advantages that you have. And
well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's going to be two of us because we both work from home, and I've had people be like, yeah, like people are just kind of being like, what are you going to do with work and blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of like, yeah, we both work from home. So if one of us is taking care of the baby, the other one can do their work and then we'll just swap.
Like, and you can work, like, whoever's got the more pressure. I think this is something Ant and I kind of fell into. Like, whoever was the more pressured, they got the pass to get their work done, and the other one kind of did the best that they could do.
That's how we live our life now. So, yeah. I mean, at the moment, like this week, Ben's really under the pump because he's going to Japan on the weekend. And so he has to get a whole lot of stuff done before then. So I'm cooking all the dinners this week.
Yeah.
That's just how that works. And then when I'm really under the pump, he cooks all the dinners and does all the cleaning and all that kind of stuff. So I really think it's, I'm very confident that, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and you know we're not lying to ourselves and thinking it's going to be super easy, but you know we're very grateful for the benefits that we do have from working so hard to have the type of lifestyle that we have that's going to really help when baby does come along.
Yeah, and you'll just make the adjustment, and that's, you know, the beauty of, you know, rolling with the seasons of life, of going, you know what, in this current season of my life, like all these things that I thought I'd be able to do, I just can't, and I'm just going to make the adjustment. And then as I, you know, gain back a little bit more freedom and time as my kids get older, I can start extending that back out again. And yeah, and I find it's easier to go with it than to rail against it and be angry that, oh, I don't get to do these things now, which I don't know anyone that does that, by the way. I'm just saying it's easier. No, not judging anyone. Okay, so the final interesting thing in this topic, thanks to Dawn Docky for sending us this link. So there was a super interesting TED talk from Lucy Peach called The Power of the Period. So if you just Google that, you'll find it's very short as well. It goes for about 8 or 9 minutes. And it discusses the idea for women of understanding what your hormones are doing at various stages of your cycle and then working with that rather than, you know, against it. So understanding why, you know, at a certain point in your cycle, like why you've got more energy and choosing to do high energy things at that time, and then understanding that there's going to be a period where part of your period where, you know, your energy levels are super, super low because of the combination of hormones, and that, you know, you've got to cut yourself a little bit slack during that particular week, for instance. So we're not going to talk too deep into it, but go have a listen to it. It's just another concept under this umbrella of, you know, understanding the whens and the hows of when we do things. But Carl, did you have a chance to look at that video or not really?
I did, and I there was a few Instagrammers that I was following before I got pregnant that were following this book, and there was a book where you would change the way that you ate and the way that you exercised according to where you were up to in your menstrual cycle. And I would absolutely love to talk about this and do some experiments when my periods come back. I'm a bit useless on this topic right now.
Yeah.
But having said that, I'm finding this unbelievably very, very interesting because I've always had very, very heavy, painful periods. I don't have endometriosis. I don't have anything like that. I've been cleared of everything. I just randomly, for no reason, have very painful, heavy periods. And I've had, you know, kind of mild PMS, like not too crazy, but it's not that great. But I have actually heard that women like me who have those symptoms that aren't related to another issue like endometriosis or polycystic ovaries or that kind of thing, when it's not related to that, apparently your really terrible periods can calm down after you've had a baby.
I have heard this too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be very, very interested to see if that happens. I've also been unbelievably calm since I've been pregnant. And I'm not sure if that's me being pregnant or me not getting my period. So I can't actually tell, but it's so interesting looking at it. And yeah, this the whole calmness thing is actually quite unnerving. I'm either completely calm or completely full of rage. I have no other emotions. Like 90% of the time I'm cool as a cucumber, and then 10% of the time I'm like, what? And I get really angry about things. So yeah, that's interesting rhythms and cycles and things. So that's just about it for the topic for today. Let's move on to kicked ass. Kel, what kicked ass for you?
My kicked ass thing is I'm so proud of myself. I think I spoke a few episodes ago about this salad that I kept buying from our Fresh Provisions, which is like $12 every time I buy it. And I was like, this thing is made
That's cheap for Perth.
Well, I guess it's cheap if you were buying it from a cafe, but it's just a Fresh Provisions place. It's just a packaged up salad that you
Okay.
Also bad for the environment because it keeps coming in a plastic container. So I keep looking at this salad going, look, it's just kind of cabbage and brown rice and cucumber and corn and just a few other things. You should just be making the salad for yourself at home. So I finally got my shit together and I finally did it on the weekend, and I am so proud of myself, except a key part of the salad is the dressing. It is like a sesame-based but creamy dressing, and I haven't been able to find a recipe online for that anyway. So if you have a sesame oil based dressing that is kind of creamy and it goes with a kind of a Chinese Thai style salad, let me know, because you know I found a dressing and it's fine, but it's not that dressing. So anyway, you're kicked ass for the week, Carl.
I nailed scrambled eggs this week. So
we're both cooks this week. Amazing.
Yeah, I was really excited. So we actually got given duck eggs from Ben's parents who came to visit. Do you not like duck eggs?
Well, I'm just I know it's completely hypocritical, but I'm just imagining scrambling ducks as opposed to scrambling chickens.
The weird thing is that they're exactly the same as chicken eggs. They're just a bit bigger and a bit richer. And I was a little bit weird about cooking with them too, because I just like imagined there would be a baby duck inside them. I don't know why I thought that, but I eat so many chicken's eggs. So I just really had to get over it. But there's an amazing Gordon Ramsay video where he just basically makes a regular breakfast, and it's a 4 minute long. It's got something like 32 million hits on it. It's crazy. For making scrambled eggs. So you just Google Gordon Ramsay scrambled eggs. But seriously, this method was unbelievable. I made it, I followed it to the letter, and just because Ben and I needed an easy dinner the other night and we had these giant duck eggs and I was like, well, let's just cook these. They were unbelievable. It was like cafe quality scrambled eggs. So if you're a scrambled eggs person and you want to get good at it, just, Gordon Ramsay. Also, Gordon Ramsay, I love him. He's amazing. I love him so much. I put him in the same category as Judge Judy. Wow. They're just smart and wise, but then kind when they need to be.
And sweary. He's very sweary.
He's so sweary.
Kicked our ass. I have been reading the book Ready Player One. I think they made a movie of it recently. Like, the reason it was brought to my mind is because someone was telling me they saw the movie and I was like, oh, I've heard that's a really good book and I need a good book. I'll go get it. And you know what? It is a good book. And now I can't go to sleep at night because I'm too engrossed in this book. That's been kicking my ass, a stupid book. I just need to get it finished and then it won't be keeping me up anymore.
Is it scary or is it just
No, it's just – it's not even – I don't know why it's – I think it must be just the right tone to keep my brain going, because it's not even like it has this massive cliffhanger at the end of every episode, or it's not even particularly pacey. It's – I don't know. It's just keeping me awake and it's really annoying. So I need to just get it finished. You, Carls?
So I've been struggling a little bit with negativity at the moment. Not my negativity, other people's negativity, and particularly around me being pregnant. There's just a lot of worst case scenario stuff, and people just love sharing birth horror stories, which just really aren't helpful. And just I'm avoiding talking about it too much on social media. Like, I obviously mention it when it's necessary, but I'm finding that every time I put anything online, it somehow always ends up in yeah, to for people to tell me all the terrible things that happened to them when they were pregnant, even when I'm not even talking about being pregnant. It'll just be like, oh, hey, I remember you're pregnant. There's this, you know, here's this really horrible story about these twins that died last week. Aww. And I'm like, seriously? Like, really? And I mean, I really, I'm enjoying talking about it and I love hearing people's stories. But yeah, I've just... just so, and it's every day as well. Like it's just,
yeah, someone it just would wear you down. I was so glad when I was pregnant, I was online, but I didn't have a big profile. So I just got well wishes, but that was it. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not pregnant like today in this current climate as well. Cause yeah,
most people are lovely and I'm really enjoying having pregnancy conversations. It's just sometimes randomly people out of nowhere will just like send me an email going, oh, I just wanted to let you know about this, and it'll be like an article about cot death or something. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm reading all the books and I'm doing all the research, and I know that these people's intentions are just like, they're so pure and they just want to warn me, but I'm a very good researcher, and there are you need to when you are pregnant for the first time, it's important to be aware of all of the negative things that can happen, but you need to be in a safe place before you are seeking out that information. And when you're receiving it every single day, because I think the thing that people don't realize is that they think they're the only person that's sending me that info, and you get it, like I get a weird, strange, negative article most days, and they come completely out of nowhere, and I'm just kind of like, I'm not in a good place to read this today. And then I'm struggling a little bit with that. And also, like, not in real life, people in real life have been brilliant, except for strangers are weird. Like, it's like all the people who know me are great, but then if I was at the hairdresser the other day and said that I was pregnant, the woman next to me just started telling me all these really horrible stories about her births, and I'm like, what are you doing?
What are they hoping to achieve by telling you that? Like, preparing for the worst?
Like, my close friends tell me their birth stories, and that's fine because we're close friends, and I was like there for their journey for most of that, and they know how to present it to me in a way that's not horrific and scary. But then these random people are just like, oh, I bled for 6 months after I gave birth. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, thanks for that. Like, so, yeah, I'm struggling a touch with that. But please,
nothing's going to be a surprise for you when you've had your baby.
No, none of it. Like, I've definitely heard all of it. But, I'm really enjoying having conversations with people about being pregnant, but I can definitely do without those. Oh, I couldn't walk for, you know, 6 months after I gave birth and all that kind of stuff, because like it that could happen, but it might not. So it's and I'm also aware of it, so I definitely don't need to hear it again.
Cool. So time to wrap up.
So don't forget, we do have a Patreon page. We've got a few goals. We're still trying to reach our $500 per month of pledges, and we're very, very, very slowly getting there. It's so nice. Someone, who was the lovely person who put the shout out up recently? Some lovely, wonderful person put a shout up in there to remind people to contribute to the page. That always actually gives us a bit of a boost. So if you want to remind other people to support the show, that would be fantastic. It just covers our costs and keeps us in your ears.
And that would be at patreon.com/straightandcurly if you want to help out. And finally, do jump into the Facebook group and share your thoughts about this week's show. Yeah, I'm really keen to get it, to see a discussion and how people have adjusted their lives to best suit, when they know they work well and sleep well and have high energy and low energy. So yeah, get in the group and have a chat with us. We look forward to seeing you in there. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.